Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Susan Good Photography and can be found on the web at www.gude photography.com. Tonight's guest is Dr. Louis LeGrand, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran, and a lot of interesting things going on. We'll have our guest on in about 10 minutes, and I know I wanted to mention to our listeners that many of you have participated in a afterlife survey that we posted on our website. We announced it in our newsletter about 2 months ago, and we got a tremendous response. We got about 1,000 responses, you know, over 2 months, and we just recently took down the survey. But the results are real interesting, and we're going to be writing an article about it for a newsletter, and we'll probably devote a gathering show to it because some of the findings are you'll find some surprises, maybe some won't be as surprising as others, but I found it very, very interesting. So it's always fun to know what your other people in the same situation as you are in, what they think, the experiences they've had, you know, their beliefs. I look forward to talking, you know, more about that.
I just want to add one thing to our listeners. We have many listeners who are not aware that they can become members of Forever Family Foundation. And if they do, then they will be receiving the newsletter that you're talking about. So some of our listeners don't even know that they could get this newsletter for free by becoming a member for free, going on to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website and signing up for free membership.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. There are a lot of people, as you pointed out to me, that subscribe to the constant contact emails, you know, and they think that they're members, but they never actually went to the
membership
website.
Just have an email on them. So they get our weekly emails that remind them when the radio show is on, who the guests are, and any other special events that we have. But when it comes to attending the special events, they fall short of being able to say they're a member.
Yeah. I'd like to give a little a plug and inform our listeners. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a website that's been in existence for many years that's run by the Zamets, and it's called VictorZamet.com, VictorZamet.com. Victor is a retired attorney now residing in Australia. And he has been in search of evidence of an afterlife, you know, for a decade. And every week sends out a free newsletter to email subscribers that has all sorts of interesting video clips and articles and essays and so forth. So might want to log on and check
that out. He also has a book that he wrote a while ago called A Lawyer Presents the Case for the Afterlife. Mm-hmm. And if you go to his website, you can download that book in English for free. So why not?
Yeah. Or you can purchase the book for a nominal thing.
You just but I mean, that's the people who are looking for things for free.
Yeah.
It's nice. He gives wonderful information, and it's all for free.
Hmm. Hey, did you see they discovered another new planet I was reading about?
It would be very similar to Earth.
Yeah, and one of, they estimate, you know, just in things that they can detect, you know, hundreds of similar types of planets that have similar atmospheres, you know, to Earth, and they suspect that there very well might be life, you know. Do you believe in that there's life on other planets?
Absolutely. And I think the reason that we're overlooking it, I don't think that they're saying, oh, there's no life on this planet, there's no life on that planet. I think they're just overlooking the life that is on that planet. Because they're looking for people like us,
right?
And that's what they're not finding.
So, if the people don't fit into your paradigm of what people should look like, then
what life should look like, you won't see them. Or even life should look like. They say, oh well, the first ingredient you have to have on these planets is water. Well, why can't there be a lifestyle that doesn't exist on water?
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that our consciousness is limited to, you know, to this planet alone. You know, if there was some design, you know, to the universe, that design certainly, I think, would include life in many other planets. Of course, we're just talking about the ones that we can detect here. You know, the ones that we can't detect, you know, there might be literally, you know, hundreds of millions of them. You know, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. You know, when you think of the possibilities, I always hoped that, you know, during my own lifetime that we would discover life on other planets. It doesn't look like, you know, we're curtailing the space program. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. But
maybe they have already, and they're not telling us, and that's why they're curtailing the space program. The whole thing doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, and then again, of course, I mean, if we know that in this world of that has our own physical laws, we know things like telepathy, you know, exist. So, I mean, there might be now telepathic communication.
All right. Well, then,
with people on other planets, then, and we just don't realize. It's the same principle where we're communicating with the dead. We're communicating with people telepathically that have no bodies. You know, so we do recognize them. We call them spirit, but and they are in our terminology, but we might also be talking with people and getting guidance from people that are physically existing in other worlds.
Well, we do have visitors to this planet. It's just that our media people want to explain it away with all kinds of ridiculous explanations. I mean, if you take a look at the Phoenix Lights, and that's something to really Google and pick up the videos from. I mean, this is a legitimate system of light or life or something that is hanging out in Phoenix, and it continues to be there, and it continues to perform these light shows, and even when the mayor took a good look at it, and she went out on a limb to say, I looked at this thing looks to be legitimate, then the media turned around and made fun of her. So, you know, it's, you can't win.
You know, the other day you asked me, and I wish I had some more time to research it. I didn't have a chance to, but it was, you asked me where the expression came from, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that?
All over the place.
All over the place. Rest in peace. You
particularly
know,
on Halloween. All right.
You're wondering, like, what exactly does that mean? You know, from the little that I researched, you know, I think it has its roots in, ancient, you know, Catholicism, you know, where they believe that, you know, you could go several different places, you know, and that wishing somebody a peaceful, you know, existence would be more desirable than the alternative. But really, you know, rest in, what does that mean, you know, rest in peace? I mean, the prospect of just, you know, resting or being inactive for eternity.
Well, that's not so exciting.
You know?
But that's what many of the religions want you to believe, that you're just going to hang out there until some messiah or something comes and says, okay, everybody, time to get to work again.
Right.
Where our spiritualists and our mediums tell us that that's not the way that it is.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would much rather have an expression like, you know, go kick ass or... or be active and prosper or progress and evolve, you know.
Well, where did the saying farewell come from? I mean, really, farewell to us today means goodbye, but it really is just sending somebody off and wishing them a good journey, or that things along their route turn out to be at least fair. It's funny where words come.
Yeah, and it just shows you know, they become part of the English language. They become part of everyday usage. And you have kids today, you know, that would, you know, immediately they may write, and if they hear of somebody that passes away, they'll write R.I.P. You know, and
right.
They have no idea why they, you know, they just know that's something that you do, you know.
Right.
So, you know, but I guess. That's something that's been going on for, I suspect, you know, many hundreds of years, and will probably stay that way for another couple hundred of years. So I guess we'll go to our break. As you mentioned, Dr. Lou LeGrand is standing by. He will be telling us a lot about the grief process, and maybe we'll throw in some extraordinary encounters. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Louis LeGrand. Our sponsor is Susan Goode Photography and can be found on the web at www.goodephotography.com. Bob?
And Dr. Louis LeGrand has been an expert in the field of bereavement for over 30 years. He's known worldwide for his grief research and extraordinary experiences of the bereaved. He's Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York. He's a former member of the Board of Directors of the Association for Death Education and Counseling. Dr. LeGrand holds advanced degrees from Columbia University, the University of Notre Dame, and Florida State. He gives seminars on death-related topics in schools, hospices, and health agencies. He's the author of many books, but his latest book is entitled Healing Grief, Finding Peace, 101 Ways to Cope with the Death of Your Loved One. Welcome, Dr. LeGrand.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we always enjoy speaking with you, and I'm glad to have you back. You know, one thing I've meant to ask you, obviously, as I mentioned, you've been working in the field of grief and death for a good part of your adult life now. And
I suppose
people come up to you, maybe friends, and they must say things like, I don't know how you do it, Lou. I mean, isn't your work emotionally draining, working with the grieving and death all the time? What do you say to that?
You know, it's a great question, and what has been so good for me in this work is that I'm at a point in life where I don't have to do it every day.
Mm.
And in running groups, for example, we would only meet once a week. Then I might see people on a one-to-one basis. But right now, particularly in the last, the last 10 years, it's really been a much more, and for me at least, an enjoyable thing because there's a great feeling when you see people change and adapt and are able to deal with such a difficult loss. So I guess to answer your question is you try, at least I have, I try not to stay involved with and thinking about the terrible difficulty a person is dealing with all during the days. As soon as I get a break, I try to get a hold of thinking of something else. And in fact, this is a very important thing for anyone who is grieving, is to learn that they can run their brain in such a way that they can switch from the sad negative thought that is being represented in their thinking to something that is more pleasant or agreeable or a good memory. You know, it takes a little practice, but it can be done, and it's really a lifelong skill that everyone I think should learn. In fact, I have a handout that I often give to the bereaved, and I call it the 9 mind proven survival skills, and one of the skills is to learn how to refocus, you know, to learn to shift your inner focus to something else. It's a critical coping skill, and that's what I do, actually, in dealing with people who are in so much pain.
Yeah, you're taking your own advice, certainly. When you talk about switching, shifting focus, I know people often say to me that people that are grieving the loss of a loved one, that they actually feel guilty, you know, about being in a situation where they're enjoying something.
Yeah,
I mean, is that a common?
Yes, you know, and of course, see, that is based on a belief, and I would like to emphasize it's often learned very early in life, probably by poor grief models. You know, my parents, for example. I can remember my father saying, "Now look, if you're going to cry and carry on, then you go up to your room and do it." You know,
right.
you don't do it in public. Well, so you create a belief that that crying is not good, and you shouldn't be doing it in front of people. All right. Well, if you have ever said to one of your children, and I made this mistake very early in life, if I said, "You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about." You know, and what does that do? It makes crying a belief that it's not good stuff, when we know crying is a normal human response. And when it comes to the grief or to the guilt question, the same thing, it is learned. You know, we learn that, when somebody we love dies, we hold the belief that we're supposed to be sad all the time, when in fact, when you try to do that, I can guarantee you will end up sick. You will have physical problems. Your immune system will be compromised. You'll end up getting colds and the flu, and because you must have balance in your grief work, because it is work. It is very, very difficult to adapt to the circumstances that now my loved one is not here physically present with me. You see, so.
Yeah.
I usually try to get people, to realize. In fact, I teach and tell them that every day you have got to be good to yourself and do something good just for you and enjoy it, whether it's window shopping or whether it's reading something or eating something. But you must be good to yourself. You see,
and I know. Along the same lines of, these coping skills, and I know you mentioned it in the book of healing grief and finding peace, is that some people can say some pretty stupid things to the bereaved.
Absolutely.
Not out of animosity, just because of ignorance, you know. So, I mean, how do you advise one to deal, with the anger that often accompanies some of these things? You know, for instance, people might come up to somebody when they're fresh in their grief and say, "Well, this was the plan, God took your loved one," and they're angry,
Sure.
Why take my loved one? So how do you deal with that anger?
One thing I would like to emphasize to begin with is that these emotions of anger and guilt and depression are adaptive emotions. They help us adapt. And so it's a normal human response to get angry at somebody who says, you'll find someone else or what have you. That's a normal human response. And what we need to do in terms of our anger is find someone that we can share it with, that we trust. And I emphasize this, that we all have some, especially when we're grieving, we have what I call some toxic people around us. These are people who say the wrong thing at the wrong time,
Right.
And the more I tell them, there's nothing wrong with trying to reduce the amount of contact you have with the person. Sometimes, and again, depending on your personality, you may be able to say to the person, I wish you wouldn't say that kind of thing to me. It really hurts me. Now, maybe you can't do that. And some people, it is better for them to try to reduce the number of times that they're in that person's presence. But there is nothing wrong with getting angry. It does, if you let it persist, it certainly will cause you some physical problems over the long run, especially if you become very hostile towards people and you carry it on. There's no doubt that there's a very clear physiological response, and it just sucks the energy right out of you,
Write in the book that something to the effect that grief transformation occurs only by looking within. And when you talk about looking within, tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Yeah. Well, all success in coping well begins with a commitment within. We do need to work on our inner life. Often, I can remember the first death in my family, where all of a sudden I said, "Wow, this is real. This thing really happens. Death is real," you know. So I had to begin to change my thinking, and I think most people who are dealing with the death of a loved one, they do have to work on their thinking, you know, their inner life. And yeah, there are lots of things that you can do. One is you can review your belief system, like we've already talked about, because yeah, there are a lot of false beliefs that contribute to unnecessary suffering when we're grieving. But working on the inner life, and at some point, everyone has to ask themselves this critical question: What do you want? What do I want? You know, do I want to be defined by my loss for the rest of my life, or do I want to try to adapt to the new circumstances of my life? And always remember that I'll have a connection to my loved one. I'll always have a relationship. And I can, in fact, I tell everyone that I work with, I said, there's nothing wrong with talking to your loved one. Tell them how you're feeling, you know. Ask them, you know, help me from wherever you are. And this is all healthy stuff. It's part of working on your inner life.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, a great many people that often talk to their deceased loved ones, but I would also imagine that some of your colleagues in the mental health profession actually frown upon, you know, such a practice. I mean,
there's no doubt. There are a number of people who follow the strict scientific approach in dealing with psi phenomena and the afterlife. It's a shame, because there are so many people who do get signs, or they have some type of a visitation dream, or they get a message in some way or another, and they are convinced it has come from their loved one. So who am I, or anyone else? I have not had that experience. It's their experience. And if they believe that that has come from their loved one, then I'm going to support them. In fact, that's how I got interested in that whole topic 30-some years ago, when a woman came to me with the first story I had ever heard of getting a sign from the daughter who had died. And after that lady left my office, I began to talk to my colleagues, and every other client that I ever talked to, I would ask if they had anything unusual happen. And I was absolutely amazed at the number of people who get a sign or some type of indication that their loved one knows what's going on. There is going to be a reunion. They will see them again, you see.
Yeah.
But there are a number of, I regret to say, and this has been one of the things I've tried to do in my professional life, is to get other counselors to take a closer look at and use these experiences to help the person deal with their great loss. Because I've been trained in the scientific method, and all of these things that I've just mentioned, the scientific method says these are either audio or visual hallucinations, or they are illusions. And why do they say this? Because scientifically, you can't measure or weigh or put some type of a cause that they can prove has occurred. You know, I mean, it's too bad that they have to live in that inflexible state. But, you know, the scientific method didn't descend from heaven, you know. It was made up by people like you and me, you see.
Right.
And so there are many other ways to look at life. You know, life is very mysterious. And I've said this frequently to people when they tell me their story. I'll say, you know, you've been given a gift. How are you going to use it? You know, your loved one is saying, you're okay, and I'm okay too. You know, now, what can we do, you see? These are powerful experiences that are extremely helpful.
And many of our listeners may not be aware that some of your prior books, you know, deal with this subject, and you have an informative website where people can go to extraordinarygriefexperiences.com.
Yes, yeah.
And read. I mean, you wrote a book entitled Messages and Miracles.
Right. But my most recent one in that field is called Love Lives On.
Love lives on.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it. In fact, two of the major messages that come from these great experiences that many people have are that the loved one knows what's going on and still is showing their love from a different place by giving them a message or sign. Many believe that God, that their belief in God allows their loved one to do that, you know.
Mm.
And the other thing that I try to emphasize with regard to these experiences is that because you've been given a gift, you've also been given an example of maybe you should be helping others, you see.
Yeah.
You're still being helped by your loved one. That is a great example. So, you know, what can you do to reach out? And of course, as we know, from time immemorial, volunteering and helping others is always been recommended to people who are suffering through a major loss. It can help them get back into and reinvest a little bit in life, you see.
Yeah, and I think that's really true, is that, you know, when somebody suffers a loss of a loved one, their world is turned upside down, and they struggle with a loss of meaning and purpose. And
absolutely.
And a lot of the materialistic things that were important to them are no longer important. So the only thing they're left for is, as you described, is, you know, doing something to help somebody else. And, you know, that's...
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I know... So many people have these types of experiences, and they're afraid to share them for many reasons. They don't want to be labeled or ridiculed. So, I mean, do you encourage people to share their experiences with others?
Yes, you know, Bob, what I think is important is that they do find someone they trust that they can share this with. Now, sometimes. This cannot be a family member. I mean, I've had people who have shared what has happened with a family member, and the family member says, "Oh, you're full of baloney. You know, you shouldn't be thinking this way." You see,
right?
And you do. You have to. You know, you have to be a little judicious. And in fact, one thing I do is I say, "I know someone else who has had a similar experience. Would you like to meet them or talk with them?" You know, or I say. Find someone else who's had one of these experiences, or do some reading about these experiences, and you will see how common they are and how important it is, you know, for you to talk about your own. In fact, there are now several websites that promote people getting together who have had these extraordinary experiences and talking about them, you see.
Mm.
And that's all healthy stuff, because what does it do? It reinforces your belief in an afterlife. It reinforces the most important thing that I think most grieving people need, and that is to know that their loved one lives on and they're going to see them again.
Right. Probably the most effective form of grief therapy there is. We are talking with Dr. Louis LeGrand. His latest book is called Healing Grief, Finding Peace. His website is extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. We're going to go to a short break, and when we return, we're going to learn a lot more about coping with grief from Dr. LeGrand. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Suzanne Goud, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goud Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York, for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goudphotography.com.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Louis LeGrand. This show is sponsored by Susan Goud Photography and can be found on the web at www.goudphotography.com. That's G-U-D-E photography.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show, they want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on Forever Family Foundation's website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you want to buy, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holidays Past raffle with five chances to win a one-hour medium reading. You can support our work with just $5 for a chance, five chances for $20, and it goes on. Visit our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org for other denominations and more information on entering the raffle, or you could just mail in your check to Forever Family Foundation, 222 Atlantic Avenue, Oceanside, New York, 11572. At this point, there are only 385 tickets sold. You do the math, you'll see you've got to be nuts not to send in your dollars today. Our Holidays Past annual events, an evening of spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, with schedules for four locations this December. We have a special thank you to psychic medium Joanne Gerber and psychic medium Janet Nohavik for two lovely and moving events in Bethel, Connecticut and Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, respectively, on December 3rd. If you missed those, then make plans for this Saturday, December 10th, when Angelina Diana will conduct spirit communication in Natick, Massachusetts, with afterlife advocate Dave Kane presenting 41 Signs of Hope. There is a special hotel block for anyone traveling to this event, and a huge thanks goes out to Teresa Caputo, our Long Island medium, for our sold-out Holidays Pass in Melville, New York, this December 17th. The seats for all Holidays Pass events are $25 for members, $35 for non-members. Those are advanced reservations at the door, slightly higher. Reserve now, avoid disappointment. And if you'd like to bring Holidays Pass to your area in 2012, contact the office for information on how you can join our growing family of volunteers in bringing our mission to the masses, showing them that their loved ones are just a heartbeat away. Bob?
And we're back with Dr. Louis LeGrand. Dr. LeGrand, you mentioned that people have very different grieving styles. I mean, there's no, doesn't seem to be a real right or a wrong, but just among men and women, do men as a whole grieve differently than women?
Well, I think yes and no, and I'll put it in this context. There are generally women are they feel much more able to emote and be expressive. Men tend to be much more working out their grief without expression. They're doing things. They're working more. They're maybe they will do something that in memory of the loved one. But you see, again, it's a lot of it. It has to do with the culture where you know we're still taught to be strong. Men are and individuals and so on. And you don't show emotion and all that baloney. And it's regrettable because men need to cry just as well as women do. And on the other hand, you know, I don't like to label, put a label on anyone, whether they're male or female. But because there are some women who do not and are unable to cry, and sometimes to express what they're really feeling inside. And on the other hand, there are some men who can openly cry. So it's such an individual thing, and I think we make a mistake when we try to label certain behaviors by way of gender. This thing called grief is a very complex thing, and because there is each relationship, you know, is one of a kind, then each grief is one of a kind as well. I mean, people in the same family, when they can lose a loved one and grieve differently based on their perception of the relationship they had with a loved one, you see. So yeah. It's a very individual thing, and yet I think it's critical to understand whether you're male or female, or old or young, you need people. You need people who will just be there, especially people who will be around the pain and not try to fix you. People who will let you talk. People who will allow you to repeat yourself, which is healing in itself, and and not say, you just said that an hour ago. You know, we really need great listeners. It can make a big difference. And what I do normally is when I run into people that I have worked with weeks or months later or at some gathering, you know, I'll say, what has helped you the most to get this far in your grief? And almost invariably at the top of the list is, well, you know, I was able to talk to my sister, or I was able to talk to a coworker, or I was able, you know, somebody made them feel comfortable. And a lot of it has to do also with validation. And what I mean by validation is someone who will, by their nonverbal communication as well as maybe even saying, I know this is such a terrible, terrible thing. It must be so hard for you, you know. Grievers want people to acknowledge that they are going through a very difficult time.
Yeah, sometimes a hug is the best thing you can do.
Oh,
rather than...
absolutely. You know, that touch is critical. In fact, one of the things that I do with the groups every time we meet, at the end of the group, I will say, you know, please give your neighbor a hug, you know. And it is just critical within our families that we hug each other.
Yeah, you know, it really is true. I mean, you know, I mean, I grew up in a household where I don't really remember hugging anybody. You know, since we started doing this type of work with the foundation, you know, I just find myself constantly hugging people.
For no
specific reason, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a way of physical time contact, as you mentioned, is a way of communication.
Absolutely. You know, that is critical communication. And there are some people that do not like to hug, we can say, you know, that's okay, but you can shake hands, you can put your arm on their shoulder, you can make some other gesture to touch the back of their hand or whatever. Those are all critical things that can help us feel that we are not alone.
Yeah. You know, before the break, we were talking a little bit about these encounters that people have, and lots of times they come in the form of dream visits, you know. And
yes.
A lot of people will mention they're a little bit discouraged, you know, that they haven't received such a visit.
Yeah.
Is there anything that one can do that would help them to invite, you know, their loved ones?
Yeah. In my latest book there, Healing Grief, Finding Peace, that one of the strategies is to ask for a dream visit. And one of the things that I have told anybody I have worked with who asks me, you know, what can I do? I'll say, well, if you believe in a divine being, pray for a sign that your loved one is okay. When you go to bed at night, ask the supreme being that you believe in to allow you to have a visit from your loved one in your dreams, or ask the person who died. You see, it helps immensely if you can be around people who will encourage you. And I know there is. There's a website, it's chrisdominiak.com, and she has a whole list of suggestions on if you'd like to have a dream visitation, what to do, you know. And if anybody just Googles dream visitations or dream visits, I'm sure they'll be able to find some good ideas to generate a visitation dream.
Yeah. One thing that I recall, I know that from our own personal experiences and from many, many people who share this, that their feelings with us, that very often, especially early on after losing a loved one, you feel like you're going crazy. People say, I think I'm going crazy. You know, so is that something that you hear? What do you say to say, am I?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, with any kind of behavior or when you get a remark like that from someone, you have to normalize it. In other words, say, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Because you have this terrible feeling, because you think that you're going crazy, you know.
Right.
So tell me, what do you think about that causes you to feel this way? And see, by asking that question, you're going to get them to get in touch with what are the cues, what are the thoughts, what are the pictures that I have in my head that cause me to have these feelings. And then
right.
we can work on, well, what can we do to when you have one of those thoughts, when you have this picture that jumps in your head, what can we do to change that, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things you can do. When those thoughts come in, you can teach yourself to make them in your mind look smaller and smaller and smaller, and see yourself push them away from you, you see, and then bring in something that you love about your loved one that died, some happy memory that you remember, and make that bigger and make it brighter and draw it very close to you, you see. Now, if someone practiced that technique, and it wouldn't take long to begin to change that feeling of craziness, you know, it's just normal. Many, many people just are inundated with fears and thoughts because, you know, they're thinking of the future, what's going to happen, or, you know, how can I get through this, you know, I'll never be happy again, I am so down and depressed, and that's where working on our head again, you know, working on our inner life, we have to learn some new things about how to run our brain.
Right. And another very common thing that you definitely address in healing grief is the what ifs and I should have. I can't tell you how many people who hear the same thing constantly, you know, it can be torturous where you just, you know, what if I did this and what if I did that,
sure.
or I should have, you know. So I guess that's a common thing that you have to work with.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's a normal thing for us. You know, we second guess ourselves. If I only had done this, and you know, one of the things that you can do when that type of thing happens is to say, you know, at the time, you did what you thought was the right thing to do. You did not deliberately do what you're now accusing yourself of doing. Of course not. You know, nobody would. And that is a very difficult thing for some people to get over. You know, if I had only taken them to the hospital sooner, or if I had only, you know, called this number sooner, or what have you. But you know, no one can look back and not say about something that I could have done that better. You know, we all have that. It's inevitable in our lives.
Mm. I know that we're unfortunately approaching the end of our time, but I wanted to mention also that there are some very concrete things that you go over in the book, and some of the best advice you offer is people should be acknowledging the power of belief.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about, you know, some of these beliefs, you know, belief that your love love lives on, and believe,
yes,
that your pain will lessen, and, you know, believe in a higher power.
Sure.
These are all what you're talking about when you're talking about, you know, really looking within.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You see, one of the best ways that they can form these new beliefs is to increase their knowledge and read about how other people have coped, to read different articles on grief, talk to people. Like one thing that can help immensely is if they can find a grief companion, someone maybe who has had a similar loss, and maybe their loss is a year or two behind them, and they're adjusting better now, you know, and to be able to get information about their beliefs. How did you get through this? What did you do? What did you say to yourself? You know, how were you talking to yourself? Beliefs are powerful things because they are the things that move us to action, you know, and there's no doubt we can change our beliefs, and we often have to change a lot of beliefs that we learned early in life that just don't work.
Yeah, it's those are very true words. We have been talking with Dr. Lou LeGrand. We have been talking about his latest book, Healing Grief, Finding Peace. You could find out more information about that book and his many previous books by going to his website, extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. We also have an Amazon link on our own website.
Oh, yes, right. You can get it through Amazon, sure.
To these wonderful books. We thank you so much for being with us again. I hope you're going to come back real soon.
I'll be glad to. Thank you, Bob, and I wish you and your organization all the success.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Judy Lockman, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, and Francis Smith Stracco. Our prayer for the Gulf. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf, by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was Masuro Omoto back on May 9th, 2010.
And remember that our loved ones were only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.